Yep, 10:15 having arrived. We'll call the House Tax Committee to order when we have a quorum. We will get started on today's agenda. We're very fortunate to have a bill from Chair Carlson before us here. Chair Carlson will move House File 403 when we have a quorum, but we will get into the bill at this point. And then Representative Carlson, as soon as we do have a quorum, I will be making a brief interruption and we'll do a little, conduct a little business and then go forward with your bill. And again, members, this will not be for a vote. This will be for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And so welcome to your committee, Chair Carlson, if you could please present your bill, and we will move the bill, as I said, when we do have a quorum. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to share with you, being that you're waiting for a quorum, I had a technique I used a full time or a few times, and we all remember Ed Burdick, the chief clerk, and I would declare the members present as a subcommittee. And did that a few times, and I got a note from Ed Burdick. He said, you can't do that. Just start the meeting.
Don't be doing that. Okay.
So Ed Burdick would approve of your approach, and then I had to convert to that as well. Mr. Chairman, I gave you a heads up, but I was just going to point out that House File 403, I'll digress a little bit, being that we have a little time, being that I'm the only bill on the agenda. There's a certain commonality of the authorship, and it probably will expand a little bit as I understand it. The bill as it current stands has one Democrat and two Republicans, but I wasn't paying any attention to that. I was looking for members on the House floor that I knew had a coaching background, and the three people on the authors on the bill, and it's going to expand apparently to a few other coaches. We did have a conversation about referees and whether they should be allowed on the bill or not, and I guess I'll be open to that.
I don't want to get the ref mad. I coached also back in the day, and we did our preseason interview one time. I had a girls basketball team, and they were quite short, and the reporter, the sports writer, asked me, well, Coach Davids, you're team's quite short, and I said, yes, but we're slow too. and so we did quite well actually that year. Okay, so with that, do we have a Representative Barrett.
Sure. As a current referee, I guess, Chair, and Representative Carlson, I'd like to give you your first warning of the day. It's not quite a technical foul, but it's just kind of a kindly reminder.
Chairman, I
think this meeting will be in order.
I did find out that he was a referee, and I said, I'm not sure we'll all have referees on the bill. And then I got to thinking, you never want to antagonize the referee, so we probably are better off being more inclusive. But, Mr. Chairman, seriously, House File 403 has an impact on youth sports, and current law provides that nonprofits that are operating exclusively for education purposes may purchase certain items without paying a sales tax. And currently, youth athletic organizations may qualify for the exemption, but adult sports clubs do not. And part of the issue here is that sometimes, is youth sports would be 18 and under. So if you have a blend of young adults, along with some that are under 18, you lose your sales tax exemption. So what the bill would do is provide that training for youth and adults would qualify for the exemption if the organization would qualify if it only served youth, those under 18 and under, and the organization is sanctioned by or affiliated with a national governing body recognized by the U.S. Olympic Committee. So we've narrowed it down to those that would be recognized by the U.S. Olympic Committee. What the impact would be, and it's kind of growing. At first, I thought there might be one or two organizations, but as it turns out, there's potentially as many as 70, according to the Department of Revenue, that would be impacted. It's not a large revenue cost. It would be about $25,000 a year for those 70 organizations. But it becomes very important for those organizations that often operate with small fees and or do fundraising and so on for the purchasing of equipment and various other supplies. I do have with me Mr. McIntyre, who is a person who trains youth in the pentathlon in preparation for Olympic events. And I had to find out exactly what that was when he and I met last summer, and it deals with an event that involves fencing, equestrian jumping, running, and shooting. And so with that, if it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, I would like to turn it over to our witness, Mr. McIntyre, and he can explain basically what he does and why the need for the bill and what his experience had been.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Before we do that, we'll officially call the House Tax Committee to order, as we do have a quorum. A couple housekeeping issues. I will move that the minutes from January 29th, 2015 come back before us. We need to make a correction. Any discussion? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the minutes from January 29th before us. And members, we had put on the bottom of the front page and the top of the back, originally it said Representative moved House File 82 to be laid over and so forth. It should have been Representative Davids on each of those three, so that's the only change during discussion. Hearing none, I will move approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Item next, Representative Simonson moves the minutes of February 3rd, 2015. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, Representative Carlson moves House File 403. Representative Carlson gave a description of the bill. I have Todd McIntyre, Paul Cummings, Susie Brown. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on behalf of or with concerns about House File 403? I see there's no amendments. Anyone else that would like to be on the list? Okay, welcome to committee, sir. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, and please present your testimony.
My name is Todd McIntyre. I really represent myself. Testimony is this. Chair Davids and members of the Tax Committee, thank you for the opportunity to present to you a concept that will allow more Minnesotans to collect precious metals in their future. As a regional director for USA Pentathlon, I am always searching for opportunities of not just raising revenues, but also reducing expenses. When I applied last year to receive a sales tax exemption for my 501c3 nonprofit, my application was rejected on the basis that we do not exclusively work with youth athletes. The wording of the current law provides a sales tax exemption to teams and clubs which offer sports development exclusively to youth, which is generally defined by the age of 18 and younger. Everyone will agree that the pinnacle of amateur sport is the Olympic Games. Our state's history is full of athletes who endured stress, financial challenges, injuries, and other obstacles to earn an Olympic medal. Some of these athletes include Lindsey Vonn in alpine skiing, Tom Malkow in swimming, Pete Benson, Sean Rogeski, Joseph Polo, John Schuster, and Scott Baird in curling. And you can never forget the men's 1980 USA hockey team that included 12 players from Minnesota and coached by one of St. Paul's finest, Herb Brooks. It takes tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop youth into Olympic athletes. While many other countries finance their Olympic training through their own treasuries, athletes in the United States largely self-pay their Olympic dreams. By passing this bill, the state of Minnesota would offer its support of various sport clubs in their development of youth into Olympic medalists. We all know or should know Michael Phelps. The most accomplished swimmer in the history of the sport started swimming at the age of 7. He's been swimming with the North Baltimore Aquatic Club since the age of 10. For the past 19 years, Michael Phelps has been training with his lifelong coach, Bob Bowman. If Michael Phelps swam and trained for a local 501c3 nonprofit swim club known as the North Twin Cities Aquatic Club, they would lose their sales tax exemption because under current law, again, sales tax exemption is only available to groups who exclusively train youth. There will be scoffers who say we can't afford to increase the number of sales tax exemptions. Those individuals just need to be reminded that at one point in time, the state's 2014-2015 budget had a $1.2 billion surplus. Through your efforts, this bill will allow clubs and teams to hire more coaches and procure more training equipment, enabling more Minnesota athletes to compete in the Olympic Games. If it takes a village to raise a child, then the state will be able to raise up a new generation of athletes by leveraging additional sales tax exemptions into Olympic medals. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we'll go to questions, but I would caution folks to be talking about a $1.2 billion surplus because I think I have $8.3 billion in requests, so get in line. We'll see how it goes. And we're not talking about that part of it because we will hear bills, and then we will decide from there. So questions for Mr. McIntyre? Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Person next would be Mr. Paul Cummings, Minnesota Department of Revenue. And I'm curious to hear his testimony today. If he's a resource or... welcome to the committee, sir. If you could state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Hello, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Paul Cummings, and I am here with the Department of Revenue. I first wanted to... just say I'm here with some others from the department as resources. I have Margaret Reisdorf. She's an attorney within our legal services division, and I have Assistant Commissioner Jenny Starr, and she's the Assistant Commissioner for Business Taxes.
Mr. Cummings, she's not deputy yet?
She's not yet, but she is here before you, and, you know, Mr. Chair, if there's...
Does Commissioner Bowerly listen to these tapes?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe she should.
Well, she... Mr. Chair, Commissioner Bowerly watches a lot of what goes on. You know, it's she learns a lot from you, Mr. Chair, and trying to think about how to move forward. So,
this guy's good. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Cummings.
Mr. Chair, one of the we saw, you know, this bill come through. And we see, and I think it's sort of a helpful reminder of how difficult our tax code is as it relates to having taxpayers encounter it, and then they see that there is quite a bit of complexity. So we wanted to just be able to echo some of the comments to say from the testifier saying, gosh, I'm a nonprofit, and yet there's some sort of a nonprofit exemption for purchases by nonprofits, and yet why am I not able to get this exemption? So I think it's a common belief that if an organization is exempt on the federal level under 501c3, that obviously they would be exempt as a nonprofit at the state level for things like sales and property taxes. But that's just not the case. Income tax is something that is... that we work with the federal government in terms of definitions. Sales tax has a whole separate definition of what is a nonprofit or an exempt entity. And then property tax has their own definitions as well, something that we'll get into and something that really is confusing for taxpayers. So with that, I'll turn it over to our attorney, Margaret.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings. If you could please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
My name is Margaret Reisdorf, and I work for the Minnesota Department of Revenue, Appeals and Legal Services Division, and I work primarily in sales tax.
For the record, can you please spell your last name?
R-E-I-S-D-O-R-F.
I'm very sensitive about name spellings, because everybody says, how do you spell Greg, one G or two? And I say, well, two, then they go G-R-E-G-G, and then there's three. It drives me nuts. Okay, Ms. Reisdorf.
Well, thank you. Chair Davids and Tax Committee, along the lines of what Paul was talking about, is we do find here at Department of Revenue that there is a sort of a rational thinking that exempt status for nonprofits should, the same standards should apply across the tax types, and as Paul pointed out, they simply don't. For income tax, our income tax statutes here in Minnesota tie directly to the federal income tax standards. So there's whatever's exempt for income tax federally will be exempt under our state laws. However, sales and use and property have their own statutes. And in particular, the sales and use statute, the categories of exempt nonprofits is much smaller. Under the federal standard, nonprofit organizations that are organized exclusively for charitable, religious, scientific, testing for public safety, literary, educational, national amateur sports competitions, prevention for cruelty to animals, etc. Those are all categories of exempt nonprofits. Under for sales tax, we have three. We have an exemption for nonprofit religious, educational, and charitable. Now, further complicating the analysis between...
Excuse me, Ms. Reiser, that listed, this is kind of interesting, is that listed someplace, what you just said about the three that are exempt?
Yeah, in our sales tax statutes.
Page three, okay. Thank you.
Right, and so... And notwithstanding, we do have some specific exemptions for specific types of organizations, but generally speaking, we have three categories of exempt entities for sales tax purposes. And further complicating the analysis is that in the charity area, charity for purposes of how the courts have interpreted what a charity is here differs and is narrower than what we see at the federal level. At the federal level, a nonprofit charity, as long as they're organized and operated not to operate at a profit, and they have a benevolent purpose, they are exempt. For sales tax, the courts have been very stringent in their requirements, and we have a series of factors that we have to follow, and then since 2007, we also have to require that a charity substantially give away free or at very low cost their services to their beneficiaries. So for charities coming to our department to apply for sales tax exempt status, they may very well be exempt for income, and they very well may get denied for sales tax purposes. Right, and when I'm talking about the North Star factors, there was a notable case that set up these six factors, and then the case that really changed the analysis was the Under the Rainbow case that was issued in 2007 by the Supreme Court. So over the years to deal with this, we've seen...
Ms. Reiser, who's Supreme Court? State or federal?
Minnesota. Yes. And so over the years, we've seen a way to address this. We've seen specific exemptions being added. For instance, in 1980, veterans organizations were added, nonprofit hospitals in 1997, nonprofit outpatient surgical centers in 97, critical access dental, and then nursing homes just in 2013 to try to deal with the issue that we can't get benevolent organizations to fit within the statutes that we have.
Thank you, Ms. Reister. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
I'm Assistant Commissioner Jenny Starr from the Department of Revenue. I oversee the business taxes at the department, including the sales tax division.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So what I would simply add is from an administrative perspective, what we see this means for our customers in the sales tax area is that after they go through what is often a pretty complicated form at the federal level for income tax purposes, it's federal form 1023, and the last time I looked, I think the full form is about 31 pages long, so it's complex to get through that process at the federal level. But once that 501c3 status is attained there, right, nonprofits are ready to go, they want to get their operations underway. They come to the Department of Revenue for their sales tax exemption so they can make their purchases exempt from sales tax. And they're surprised because what I think is really a commonly held belief, they're surprised to find out that there's yet another form. Ours, by the way, is, I think, 3 pages long. It's much shorter. But you still have to fill that out and get through a whole other process. And for some, it is surprising to find out that while they are a charity under federal income tax laws, they're not a charity under Minnesota sales and use tax laws. And that certainly creates complexities and complications and is an administrative matter to get through with our customer set.
Okay, any questions for members for Mr. Cummings, Ms. Reisdorf, or Ms. Starr? Mr. Cummings?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think we wanted to take this opportunity not to, we really don't have a position on Representative Carlson's bill, but we did want to take this opportunity to try and give a picture of the landscape in which many nonprofits are sort of going through as it relates to trying to deal with the federal system and a state system and a sales tax system and an income tax system. We know that there is this sort of piecemeal approach We think that, you know, if this were to be done to try and align the systems for sales tax and income tax in terms of nonprofits, we think it would be in the neighborhood of about $4 million a year. But
Mr. Cummings, you're saying if you just did it for everybody.
Well, if we aligned the for sales tax purchases by nonprofits from in terms of the sales tax, if you were to align that definition with the federal definition for the income tax, we think it would be in the neighborhood of about $4 million.
Okay, so Mr. Cummings, what was your position on the former chairman of the Ways and Means Committee's bill?
Mr. Chair, we really don't have a position, and so we're not going to be coming later on and saying we don't, you know, this is, we're already administering a code in which has various carve-outs, but so really we really don't, but we did want to give some context in terms of the complexity of the overall system.
Well, Mr. Cummings and Ms. Reisdorf, Ms. Starr, thank you very much. This is very helpful to the committee, and we appreciate you taking the time to put this together. Okay, I believe we have any, no questions? Oh, we do have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question in regards to Olympic athletes. I had been related and still related to one that decided to train outside the Olympic program, had to fundraise on her own, did set up her own corporation. If she was I don't believe she was necessarily a nonprofit, so her specific training in the couple hundreds of thousands of dollars would not be exempt. Is that correct?
Ms. Reisdorf?
If she was not a nonprofit, I believe that would be correct, because the federal income tax exemption requires you to be a nonprofit organization, as well as state law.
Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for the Department of Revenue? Thanks. Representative Wills?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think it might be a question for the author, actually, if that's all right.
Okay, we'll wait then. Anybody else for the Department of Revenue? Okay, thank you very much for your information. If we could maybe get the author back, and then I'll be calling down. Why don't we get Susie Brown to come down now, too? But we'll go to the Wills question first. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Carlson, just looking at the language of the bill, and I just had a quick question at the top of page 2 on lines 2.1 and 2.2, where it says at least that the organization would be sanctioned by or affiliated with at least one national governing body recognized by the United States Olympic Committee. And I was just wondering what organizations would fall under that umbrella that would have that tie to a United States Olympic Committee.
Representative Carlson?
Mr. Chairman, I think probably the best person to respond to that, because he's active with those groups, would be Mr. McIntyre.
Mr. McIntyre, to the Wills question.
Thank you. The sporting bodies that are identified by the United States Olympic Committee on the summer games would be, for example, USA Swimming, USA Pentathlon, archery, badminton, field hockey, team handball. On the winter side of the slate would be curling, obviously hockey, downhill skiing, snowboarding, cross-country skiing. Biathlon would be one of my favorites. That's just a sample of what would be available.
Mr. McIntyre, badminton an Olympic sport?
Yes.
Summer.
Really? Badminton?
It's indoors. They can do it in the winter.
Oh, I'm going to be getting emails from badminton folks. I think badminton's a very, very good sport and should be recognized as such. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. McIntyre, for that list. That was very helpful, and I tried to write them down as quickly as I could, but if perhaps you could provide the information, we can get it emailed out to the committee.
I will send a whole list to Representative Carlson, and he can distribute it from there.
Thank you.
Representative Wills.
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, any other questions at this point for the author, Mr. McIntyre? If not, we'll go into testimony. Please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Susie Brown. I represent the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits. We're a statewide association of 2,000 member organizations. I've not spoken with the author, Mr. McIntyre, about this previously, and I'm no expert on Olympic sports, but I just wanted to share with the committee that this is an area of substantial confusion for the nonprofit sector. We hear, and my evidence is anecdotal, but we hear from our members that this is a place where they have assumptions and expectations about what will flow in this area related to their 501c3 status, and find that they are surprised and disappointed sometimes that it is not the same kind of tax treatment that they find with the sales tax that they would find in the income tax exemption by getting their 501c3 status. So we find it to be complicating, I guess, if organizations feel like the solution is that they need to come and have a specific carve-out for themselves in law. Although we certainly wish Mr. McIntyre and the author the best in this, we think that if there was a way to link the sales tax exemption with the 501c3 status, that that would offer some simplification that would certainly benefit the nonprofit sector, and it sounds from previous testimony like it would also benefit the Department of Administration on their administrative end. And I wasn't aware of the cost before, but I heard Mr. Cummings describe, I think it was $4 million. So obviously there would be a cost to doing that, but we hope that that's something that this committee might consider someday. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Brown? Okay, thank you for your testimony, Ms. Brown. Any other questions for Chair Carlson or Mr. McIntyre? Representative Earhart.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I don't know who belongs to the answer on this one, but we have a bunch of qualifying educational organizations that do qualify now, but if they're not sanctioned by the U.S. Olympic or whatever it is, the United States Olympic Committee, does that mean they're no longer going to be eligible for whatever their status is now? Is that going to change the status they've already established? Pick out the YMCA and the YW here.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, this would not change the exempt status of any organization that is currently exempt. This would just add these other organizations that don't qualify, again, because they train adults.
Even though they might not be sanctioned by the United States Olympic Committee.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, that's correct.
Thank you.
Representative Earhart?
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from members? If not, Representative Carlson renews his motion at House File 403 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. So with that, members, we should have a full schedule next week. Any comments for the good of the order?
I'm British.
If not, good government all the time. We are adjourned.